Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio.
A crossover is...
crossover dribble.
Sing for the crossover.
Kyrie Irving, crossover in the lane.
One of the most famous crossovers of all time.
Behind the back, an ankle breaker on Chris Paul.
Crossover continues to evolve.
All right, last night NBA draft lottery, we had some drama.
It's an understatement.
Wait, you think what if the NFL did their draft like that?
That would be, especially because think about how many people cared last night.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Now the NFL is 10 times more popular,
yes.
And oftentimes you're dealing with most time there's like a franchise quarterback that's like the big prize. Oh man.
Hey, how
could you imagine the drama?
Oh no.
Of like that would be insane.
But how bad did you feel for Zion Williamson?
Did you read the little anecdote that they rushed him?
Yep.
Like apparently that they rushed him out of there.
I mean, it was like, hey, who would you take? Ja or RJ? Dude's like, what?
What do you mean?
Hey, how does your game compare to Anthony Davis?
Hey, that's where sometimes you just
how could you help out an NBA team? Hey, who am I playing
ESPN
for?
Had a bad night with that. And then because they dissed on RJ Barrett while he's sitting there and they're interviewing Zion. And
no, the other guy. He was the other guy.
And then also, I don't know if you noticed, but every time the Currys score, they show mom and dad.
Yeah.
They're nice people. We don't need to see them every time their sons score.
You know that RJ Barrett went for 23 a night?
Here's the thing. I'm at the point. Here's a fact.
As a freshman.
We're at the point where Zion is overrated and RJ Barrett is underrated.
Yeah. That's probably.
Then you're talking to a Knicks fan this morning.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to talk to them. Like, because that's, in all reality, I know last night was a bummer from the New York standpoint, but like if they end up with RJ Barrett, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's not
and
awful.
They still have a really good coach.
Yes.
I'm a big Fizdale guy.
So am I. So for as much as it feels like the sky is falling for New York,
but you know who it like almost officially fell for? What do you do if you're Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things I didn't understand. Like, why wouldn't have maybe John Beilein waited 72 hours?
I think he prefers to coach kids because that's
I mean, sheesh.
Or he didn't want Michigan to respond to the deal from Cleveland.
Right.
He said some weird stuff yesterday.
Hey, speaking of which, the Vegas odds on the new guy to be Michigan's head coach?
Yeah, did it flip to
Lavelle Jordan?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, what? I know there's the
connection.
But what has he done as a head coach?
I like Laval.
I go back to all the times you talk about your sit-downs.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I guess, maybe I glean what I want to glean from that, but I didn't ever get the sense like...
He's good, but I don't know if I'm like, dude. Like, Chris Mack, you're like, pfft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, this guy is outstanding. And Laval's fine. I mean, he's a young coach.
But he's not a proven winner, which that job demands.
Right. And maybe it's the, I don't know, maybe it's the timing of mid-May that makes it tough. But with all due respect to Laval Jordan, you feel like they could get somebody more proven than that.
Yeah.
by the way, do you guys, to back up to the Beilein thing, do you guys buy into this idea of that, one of the reasons that Beilein left was he was sick of the college recruiting stuff?
Yes.
Yep.
You think that's a part of it?
Yep. Yeah. We talked to a couple of guys from Michigan yesterday, and I guess he said it more than a couple of occasions. Like,
he just can't do it anymore?
He just doesn't want to play
the game
anymore.
He doesn't want to compete where the playing field is not level.
I think the straw that broke the camel's back was the interaction that agents could have with.
Right.
Like, I think he's just like...
But I said it yesterday. Coaches at that level have become managers of business, not coaches. Because you got guys coming and going. There's the portal. There's the NBA.
Right.
I mean, you're no longer – you have to manage that part. You're the CEO.
It's pretty amazing how much the landscape of college basketball has changed
in
like 5 years. Not even like in just a couple of years. It's totally different.
Well, look at How many Beilines are out there in college basketball right now that are thinking the same thing? They just haven't had the opportunity.
Probably a lot.
Oh, I'm sure a lot.
Like Richard Pitino is a guy to watch for future in the NBA.
Right.
From Minnesota.
Yeah, you try to crawl into his head. We haven't gotten the terms of his contract yet.
No, just five years.
Okay. I mean, because that'll be interesting too.
Hey, if Fred Hoiberg has success, you're going to get to a point in his fourth or fifth year here where he's going to probably have to say no every summer to an NBA franchise kicking the tires.
The other thing, I said this yesterday, and it sounds crazy to say out loud, and you guys can react to this. Because one of the first things that everybody's doing right now is any job that opens up, Nebraska basketball fans' minds immediately go to, oh, thank God that job wasn't open when Hoiberg was still on the market. Am I crazy? And you guys can tell me I'm crazy. Am I crazy? And maybe I'm just gobbling up the rhetoric that Hoiberg wanted to serve up. Am I crazy to think that he would have still maybe chosen Nebraska over Michigan?
It sounds like it. Because it depends. Do you believe that Arizona really, or UCLA
really went? I mean, I don't
like.
I just get the sense that the family ties to Nebraska were a much bigger thing than I mean, we all knew about the grandfather thing, but I didn't know about all the other stuff. Like, I think to a certain extent,
I think there was
more of a pull to Lincoln than I had initially given it credit for.
I wonder, like, if you really don't want UCLA, but I think UCLA is an overrated job. I've said that on our show.
Yeah.
But if you thumb your nose at UCLA and you're thinking, hey, Nebraska is such a good fit, I think you're probably right.
I don't think it's as crazy as,
right?
Because saying it out loud, being like, you would choose Nebraska over Michigan? I know that's crazy to say out loud, but that's the thing, is like, there are human beings that have to make these decisions. Of course, if we're just saying, what's a better basketball job? Well, of course it's Michigan. But a person has to go live in that city and all that comes with that.
And see, that's why I completely agree. Because we got into a big knockdown drag out with why Crean would take Georgia.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, you know, maybe after the level of disrespect and lack of appreciation he had or he received while he was in Bloomington, maybe going to a football school was an ideal fit for him and his family. Right. Like, maybe he just wanted to chill.
I want to coach without having to be the front page every single day.
Or maybe build a team that hasn't really been relevant since Wilkins.
Like, you could walk in. You can't walk into Michigan and rebuild. You can walk into Nebraska and flip the roster in a month, and everybody goes, that's
right.
Great.
Right. Hey, by the way, I'm sure you guys get this question all the time of like, hey, what are setting Nebraska basketball's expectation level next year? Like, I know it's a cop-out, but I'm just like, let's let these guys play a four-minute segment
before we say anything. I said to put a number. Yeah, I just said yesterday, to put a number to it, I think is kind of lofty.
Some people are like, you need to go to the NCAA tournament. I'm like,
I think if you're above 500, I think that's a success.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, basics.
Because you don't know who the heck is even playing.
You have no idea how all these pieces are going to come together. Yeah, when you think about the style and the philosophy of Hoiberg, and then look at like the pieces that could fit, it's almost like you buy something from IKEA and you see all the pieces. You're like, okay,
yeah.
And then we got to put it together though, and then we'll see what it all kind
cohesion,
of that process,
chemistry, like, and then skill development.
Yeah, I mean, and Cam Mack, I think they're all excited about him, but like, you know, I mean, he's. It's a big level to take the keys to the car in the Big Ten run the show.
He does look like a big time.
Without knowing the health of some guys, that Italy trip falls perfectly for them.
Oh, man, no question.
I mean, you could say the same for Creighton as a veteran team that gets that extra time together going to Australia.
I remember my senior year, we went to Canada, and that was the year we lost Funk and Tolliver and Porter. And so that was the year we had a whole bunch of newcomers, and it really helped us. Like, and we started like 11-1 that year, and like, and once the regular season hit, and I don't think if we would have had the practices in the Canada trip, it would have been like that.
Were you surprised? We tried to get him, and maybe Georgia book him tomorrow. That a guy like Pete Thamel could just take the liberties to lump.
Yeah,
Miller and Mack.
And Mack in the same. I mean, that's the thing. It's just there still is no. You know, it's like to compare. And here, there's a problem.
Even if you can connect some quasi dots, they're still not playing in the same hemisphere.
No, I mean, you think about Will Wade and Sean Miller, like those guys are over here. Max over here.
Yeah. I just like, was like, wow.
There's
really?
Still no, and at this point I know there's not any necessarily smoking gun, but there's not even like a fingerprint on a smoking gun with Mac, even though there's some insinuations and circumstantial evidence and all that stuff. But like, yeah, that's how it goes though. Everybody gets lumped into one, man. Okay, that's how it goes.
Huh, interesting, Pete.
All right. I'll try and hold it down for you guys.
Hold it.
This is Game Time with Nick Baugh.
It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
I told you last night, no!
On 1620 The Zone, Zone app, and 1620thezone.com.
They say, what's your show about? I say nothing. There you go.
Live from the Next Gen Male Medical Clinic Zone Studios. Here's Nick Baugh.
Digital Underground, you know what that means, George?
Yep.
Questions coming in at all. Do we have any activity in the George at 1620thezone.com inbox?
We have activity. I got out of Farrell's today, and I was like, oh, boy. All right.
Here, George.
Yep.
Is what I like to hear, okay? It's what I like to hear. Mailbag, 1 hour from now. Get your questions in. George at 1620thezone.com. Anything you want to ask me, serious, silly, does not matter. Best email question is going to win gift certificate to Oscars. It's my therapy, people. Do not let me down. Can you just please not let me down, please? Okay, good. I am so excited to talk to, we got Tolliver coming up in the show, 1 o'clock hour. There's so many different things that were interesting with last night's Golden State-Portland game. You know, I don't know whether to chalk up a lot of last night to just Portland was dead tired. You know what I mean? I mean, because stop and think about, like, Portland played a game seven, which is takes it out of you, right? A game seven in the altitude 48 hours before taking the floor last night. So a part of last night could have just been mental and physical and emotional fatigue. They weren't physically and emotionally ready to play. But then there were also some schematic things with last night that were head-scratching. But I'll be curious to get Tolliver's thoughts on that, get his thoughts on Toronto-Milwaukee, plus all that shook out yesterday, last night, with the NBA draft lottery. So we'll start the conversation there. Wow. Just wow. The New Orleans Pelicans won the draft lottery last night, a.k.a. the Zion Williamson Sweet Six. Yikes. Let's start with this. First of all, it's a bad night for the NBA. I don't care. I don't care how you want to say it. Mark, it doesn't matter. It's a bad night for the NBA. The most hyped player entering the NBA since LeBron James is going to play in a city that doesn't even feel like they're an NBA city. Let's be honest. Like, anytime I think of, like, whenever I see the New Orleans Pelicans uniforms, I feel like I'm watching a movie about a fake team or something. Like, I'm just being honest with you guys. I feel like I tuned into a movie and you have just like a fake basketball team on it. And the NBA's most hyped player is heading there. And a couple of things here. Mark Spears of ESPN tweeted this out, that Zion Williamson was quickly whisked out of the room after the Pelicans were announced the winner of the draft lottery. According to a source, the former Duke star was rooting to go to New York, but now is going to New Orleans. Okay, so you got a guy that, I mean, you got a guy that does not want to go to, it sounds like, just not enamored about going to New Orleans. It's one of the crappy things about sports that makes no sense. Sports, in the NBA and the NFL, like, it's the only franchise or the only organization in which, like, if you graduate top of your class at Harvard Medical School, they don't send you to the worst hospital. They send you to you get to choose where you go, and you go to the best hospital, right? But basketball and football, they're one of the only things, like, if you're the best, you got to go to one of the worst. And then, oh, and by the way, This apparently doesn't alter how Anthony Davis apparently feels about wanting to stay with New Orleans. According to Shams, obviously, basically like Woj Jr., I guess you could call him, of the Athletic and Stadium. He tweeted out afterwards, the New Orleans Pelicans are now set to be Zion Williamson's franchise to lift, and the number one pick could ease potential trade of Anthony Davis. His stance on a trade has not changed, according to a league source tells Shams. So, at least according to Shams, Anthony Davis still wants out of New Orleans. Okay, so deep breath. What does all this mean? There'll be more fact gathering, and sometimes, when the dust settles, you'll be able to see things a little more clear. I think the one thing this does do for the Anthony Davis situation is it gives the Pelicans a security blanket with Zion to trade Anthony Davis and not feel like they're just giving away their franchise, you know? Like, let's be honest, for as much as we talked about, like, man, I tell you what, a first-round pick and Kuzma and Ingram and Lonzo for Anthony Davis, that's not a bad little deal for the Pelicans. Right? Like, at least now, the Pelicans can deal Anthony Davis and not feel like they are just completely going into NBA's franchise hell, right? So the first thing is, if you're New Orleans, you woke up today and now you're like, okay. You can now dangle Anthony Davis out there for another top 10 pick or demanding some superstars in return to pair up with Zion. Hell, you could also trade Zion. You could trade that pick. Let me tell you right now, if you would post something on social media, like the Pelicans would be like, taking calls on the number one pick. You know how attractive that is to a lot of NBA franchises? Really. But the reality is, I think everyone was hoping for the New York Knicks to win the lottery. And that was the most interesting outcome for the NBA as a whole. Either have Zion in New York, or you could have traded Zion for Anthony Davis for another megastar to go to New York, whatever. And instead, again, Zion's going to be headed to play in New Orleans. What a letdown in a lot of different ways. So the top four ended up like this. New Orleans 1, Memphis 2, New York 3, Lakers 4. A couple of other things with this. Sticking with the Knicks. I'll tell you what. If Memphis ends up taking Ja Morant, I'm telling you right now, RJ Barrett isn't a bad pick to end up with at the three spot.
If I'm a Knicks fan, I'm not upset.
No, like, here's the thing with the Knicks. You're either going to get, last night, you were hoping for Zion, but now you're either going to end up with Ja Morant or RJ Barrett.
Literally all you wanted was top three, and you got
If you
three.
Get one of those three players, pretty good spot.
Bingo.
Let's be honest.
I agree.
You're 100%. In a pretty good spot. Because I said it during the crossover. We've reached the point where Zion's overrated, and R.J. Barrett is now underrated. Again, never forget, 6-7 months ago, you know who was the consensus number one pick in the NBA draft?
Who was that, Nick?
R.J. Barrett. The 6 months ago, the guy who was like, in some ways Zion was like, yeah, he's this viral video dunking sensation, but can he play? R.J. Barrett was the dude. Guy's a baller. So I still think New York's in a better... I know people are probably all on the subway like, hey, you kidding me? They're probably all upset. But people... I mean, it's not a horrible situation. It's not a horrible situation. And then the other thing that happened last night was obviously the Lakers ending up with the fourth pick. They had a 2% chance to win the lottery, and they ended up in the top four.
I was going to go nuts if they ended up
if they ended up... Oh, Lord. People would have just... It would have been a riot in the streets. People would have been celebrating with kale in L.A., kale confetti. with the fourth pick, though, this is big to add into a trade if you're the Lakers to land a second star with LeBron. Because that's there's the top three, there's a drop-off, and there's the rest of the crew in this draft. You could now, the fourth picks, that's a real asset for some people. It's a big thing to potentially land a second star with LeBron. You could call up New Orleans and say, hey, man, what's up? We'll give you Ingram and the fourth pick for AD.
And if they accept that, they're idiots.
But at the end of the day, if AD is still – because that's the other thing that's hard. It's like if AD is still telling you, I'm not going to resign.
Yep.
I want out. I want out. Again, the longer – you can say, I will play it out to the trade deadline. But by the time the trade deadline comes, they'll realize you're stuck. Because now we hold all the cards, not you. At this point, you can still kind of dangle out there like, listen, we'll hold on to Zion and he'll or to Anthony Davis, he'll play with Zion, whatever. You could call, hey, Kuzma, fourth pick for AD. You could even call Washington, fourth pick, Ingram and Kuzma for Bradley Beal or something like that, you know? I'm not saying all those franchises will go for it, but a top five pick is a valuable, real thing to shop around to throw into trade packages. So the fortune of the Lakers got a much-needed boost. And I'd be stunned if they don't trade that pick. To me, there isn't a player in this draft that like you want to pair with LeBron right now at that after the top three dudes. So that's good. But all in all, bad night for the NBA. I'm sorry, but the Pelicans feel like a franchise in a movie that is just like, that's not a real team. I mean, they play at the Smoothie King Center. Like what? I mean, and the most hyped megastar since King James is heading there. Not ideal. Not ideal. All right, what is ideal is it's a Wednesday, so we got tons of good stuff. Shanley, Anthony Tolliver, mailbag, all coming up. You can email me, nick@1620zone.com. Hit me on Twitter, @NickBaugh. 402-951-1620, game time.